Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Today I was driving down the road listening to a pastor on the radio, and it just highly grieved me that he would regurgitate an old lie that's been peddled by pastors for decades and probably centuries. The lie that since people are going to his church, basically they need to keep going to his church. It's like reselling the people you already have exploited or retaining your customer base. What they do is use manipulation. They manipulate the scriptures, you know, like Psalm 92:10, and I'm sharing this with you, friends, so that you can beware of this witchcraft, this packaged, canned message that's been passed down from generation to generation of pastors who are in control. In other words, God's not in control, they're in control. Or they wouldn't be preaching this kind of message. And that's what this whole thing boils down to. When we're submitted to the great shepherd of the sheep, Hebrews 13:20, then we're not going to be trying to get people to submit to us. Paul didn't. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:24, he said, quote, "Not that we have dominion over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy," unquote. 2 Corinthians 1:24. Paul said that he and the other ministers with him, the servants, that's what a minister is, not one who reigns over you, but one who's under you, lifting you up to Jesus. We'll read a little bit more about that in a minute, but Paul saw his place as a place of servant, being a servant to all men, he said, and to be a helper of the joy of other believers, not to have dominion over their faith. That's the place of one, and that's the nail-scarred risen Savior, the great shepherd of the sheep, Hebrews 13:20. I want you to become very familiar with that. I want you to go underline that, highlight it, and bracket it in your Bible. Go into Hebrews 13:20. Mark off the phrase, great shepherd of the sheep. Jesus Christ is the only great shepherd of the sheep, and we worship him, and we go where he leads us. He says, his sheep hear his voice, and they follow him. If God happens to bring somebody into a fellowship, and then the Lord leads that person to go somewhere else or move out of state, that's not the prerogative of the pastor to try to control that or to try to manipulate and put fear into people not to want to leave. And, you know, of course, these guys are so full of themselves and so full of pride and so unsubmitted to Jesus that when somebody leaves, it's automatically assumed, they're automatically thought of as people that have rebelled against God, because God would have never moved you out from under my leadership. These guys are so blinded by their pride, they can't see that Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep, and he leads his sheep where he wants them to go. He's the one that died for them and bears the nail-scarred hands and feet after shedding his blood for them to prove it. He's the one that justifies. He's the creator of all that is. Who do these clowns think they are? Listen, Mr. Pastor, you and I are to be the greatest servants of all. You need to look at anyone God blesses you to feed as a privileged opportunity, not a place to reign over God's people. If you've been doing that, denounce that witchcraft and repent before God and really get saved. Turn your life over to the Lord, because it is not turned over to the Lord. Paul told people in 2 Corinthians 8:5 they needed to submit to God first. The submission they have to you is submitting one to another in the fear of God, Ephesians 5:20, 21. Not submitting to you as if you're the Lord over their lives. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? It's time to get off your high horse. Perhaps he needs to knock some of us off our high horse so we stop thinking of ourselves above that which is written. Now, Psalm 39:5 says, men, all men, in their best state, are altogether vanity. If you're hearing my voice, You're a man. The Bible says you are altogether vanity. There's no good thing in you except Jesus, according to the Apostle Paul. You ought to be crying out with him, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Romans 7, 18 and 24. Now listen to the instructions that Peter gives, the Apostle Peter. He says, the elders, this is 1 Peter 5, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Peter's talking as an elder, and he says, and also a partaker of this glory that shall be revealed. So he says that he's an elder, speaking to the other elders, and he's a witness of Jesus Christ's sufferings on the cross and otherwise, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Then he says, feed the flock of God. First instruction, feed the flock of who? Flock of God, not your flock, the flock of God. I understand that you might have a mortgage to pay on that ridiculous church building that you brought upon yourself in your self-directed life and self-willed life. That's not God's problem. You got yourself into that. None of these apostles in the New Testament, scriptures in the New Testament early church, had mortgages or even had buildings. They met in different buildings, but the focus wasn't on the building. To feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. You're not over them, they're among you. Notice that posture. Not in here by accident. So feed the flock of God which is among you. Not the whole flock of God, just the people around you. Might only be one person, two people. I tell you, I'd rather oversee, and that's a calling, one or two people and do it right, than to have 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000 and have to stand before God and give account for misshepherding them and misleading them. Let's see, this is all about Jesus. This is not about you. This is not about me. God wants to break us to the core of our being so that we're poured out like holy oil to be used of Him. He's the potter, we're the clay. And the reason why men operate in this kind of witchcraft where they try to exercise control over other people is because they're not submitted to God. Jesus said, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew 18, 3 and 4. You're not even saved if you're trying to control other people. God will judge you. And that's a rebellious spirit. That's a Nicolaitan spirit. Revelation 2, 6 and 15, which Jesus said He hates. You're not even going to enter into the kingdom of God. You're on your way to hell. It's time to repent. Jesus said He hated the deeds and the doctrines of the Nicolaitans, which we're going to talk about here in this segment, especially one of their doctrines, which I began to talk about here in the beginning of this. Nicolaitans. Nico means conquer. It's where we get the word Nike. Nico, Greek word for conquer. Nicolaitan. Laitans means the laity. Conquer the laity. Conquer the people. And that's what many pastors do today through their manipulation and their false teaching. One of those teachings, as I began to say earlier, is where they tell people you got to bloom where you planted, and you know they use Psalm 92 out of context. They say the house of the Lord means in their church, right? No, the house of the Lord has no boundaries. The house of the Lord is wherever there are two or more gathered that are submitted to Jesus. Not come into your stupid little building on Sunday morning. What kind of ridiculous doctrine is that? You know, I tell you what, pride will make a fool out of you and me every time. That is nothing but rooted and grounded in arrogance. God doesn't need you. Those people don't need you. Jesus is who they need. Jesus is who I need. Jesus is who you need. I want to encourage you to have a come to Jesus meeting if you're involved in this kind of witchcraft of manipulating people. By the way, your stupid little church is not the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord in Zion refers to all the people of God. It doesn't matter if they're sleeping. Doesn't matter if they're in China. Doesn't matter if they're sitting under a tree right now. Doesn't matter if they're sitting on a sofa. Doesn't matter if they're sitting in what we call a church building. No such thing in the New Testament scriptures in the early church. It doesn't matter if they're sitting on their sofa. That doesn't matter. What matters is that they're submitted to God. They're submitted to the King of the kingdom. That's what kingdom means. It's all about the King, King Jesus. And D-O-M comes from domain, cognitive scaffolding. Put two words together. Domain of the King. That's what the kingdom is. That's what the house of God is. That we're to be good to especially those who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10. That has nothing to do with your little building. Jesus said there's the synagogue of Satan. And that's associated with what? In Revelation 2. The synagogue of Satan is where the evil one dwells, claiming to be that of the Lord. Talks about the synagogue of Satan in the second chapter of the book of Revelation. And you can look in there and find out exactly what that's associated with. I know in Pergamos, talks about Satan's seat. Quote, Satan's seat. When he's talking to the church at Pergamos. And he says, I know thy works,
and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas, my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against you, because they held the doctrine of Balaam. And then in verse 15, still talking to Pergamos, he says, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitanes, which thing I hate. Many leaders today, again, Nicolaitanes means conquer the laity. It's a superiority spirit based on pride and arrogance. It's wicked before God. God resists these people because he resists proud and gives grace to the humble. Many leaders today attempt to conquer the common people with their credentials or the supposed credentials. Jesus hates the doctrine that replaces the New Testament, the individual New Testament priesthood of all believers. Now, in order to do this, these false leaders, which are rampant in the modern church, they must subvert the Word of God and change it and twist it and misuse it to conquer the people. And that's one of the instances, as we talked about earlier, where they, Psalm 92:10. The house of the Lord is, but I'm pointing this out because you can see how these people manipulate the Word of God and use it for their own good. The Word of God, we never find Peter, Paul, John, any of the writers of the New Testament talking like this. So teaching is kind of teaching. These guys grab a verse here and there where they talk about how your blessing is connected with who you're submitted to, assuming everybody needs to submit to them because they're so wonderful, obviously, in their own mind anyway. These guys preside over the believers in a bad spirit or bad attitude, one of superiority. And they can hide that pretty well, so beware. They maintain an air of superiority over God's people. Jesus condemns this, the spirit and the teaching of it, the doctrine and the deeds of it, according to Revelation chapter 2, verse 6 and 15. The synagogue of Satan is right before that, and when he addresses the Smyrna church, and then he talks about just after that with Thyatira, all in the second chapter, Revelation 2. He talks about the depths of Satan, and that's associated with Jezebel and her witchcraft. And that's what this is. When men try to rule over other men, instead of honoring that this is God's heritage, not their heritage, which we're getting ready to read here in a minute in 1 Peter 5, they become the Lord and Shepherd of those people. That's witchcraft. This is Antichrist. This is in place of Christ. Wherever Christ is being upheld, according to Colossians 2, 18 and 19, the divine virtue of God in heaven is flowing into the people. Only when Christ is being elevated. When a man's being elevated, then that virtue is not going to flow. And God doesn't want you in that organization. From such, withdraw thyself. They're going to bite and devour one another. The grace of God is not going to be in their midst. They have quenched it. God resists or sets himself against the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. James 4, verse 6. It's better to dwell in, according to Proverbs, with the humble than in plush house with all the riches with the wicked. That's a principle we should behold. And 2 Peter, talking about specifically false teachers and false prophets, verse 1. In verse 19, 2 Peter 2:19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. Now he's talking about apostate false prophets and false teachers, specifically, quote unquote, here in 2 Peter 2. I want you to get very familiar with that chapter. It's all about false prophets and false teachers. And here's one of the things they do. It says, of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. What does that mean? Well, when you're overcome with a lie and you allow that lie, in other words, the lie that you're to be submitted to that pastor and, you know, you're never to go anywhere, they get you thinking, they get this witchcraft over you and this fear, you know, you can't miss. So they subtly, a lot of times pretty subtly, you know, imbue you with this kind of foolishness. The autonomy, though, of the believer and the individual priest of the New Testament scriptures will set you free. The truth will make you free if you'll learn it and you will obey it. Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. But also Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. It's time to get in the Word. Realize that this so-called pastor that might be exercising witchcraft over you, making you think that he's more than God said he is, he's just a man, 1 Corinthians 4:6. We're not to think of men above that which is written. No, that's idolatry. Beware. Lest any man spoil you, Colossians 2:8, through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not through Christ. For you are complete in him, in Jesus Christ, who is the head of all principality and power. You're complete in Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Your relationship is all about Jesus. Any pastor in your life is privileged to be there to feed and nurture and bless you. And we should esteem them highly. The Bible says in the New Testament, for their works' sake. not because they're something special or better than anybody else. And this foolishness that they try to wield over you, that they know the Greek and the Hebrew and they got some stupid cemetery or seminary degree, or that is witchcraft. If they're a true servant of God, they're humbling themselves to elevate you to God and to foster a more and more intimate relationship between you and the great shepherd of the sheep. Ask your pastor friend to hold up his hands and look and see whether or not he's got nail-scarred hands and feet. If he did, it wouldn't matter anyway because he's sinful and he's not the son of God. But the point is, who do these people, where do they come off positioning themselves as if they're superior? That's a Nicolaitane spirit, and Jesus made it clear that he hated that in Revelation 2, verse 6 and 15. Now let's continue in 1 Peter 5. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not by constraint or force, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, or for money, for unjust gain, or eagerness for base gain. A hireling is a person who ministers for money, and they'll flee when things get rough. Why? Because they're only there for the money. There's a continual test there in play to see whether or not you really love the Lord and you're going to serve him no matter what comes your way. A hireling is a person who does it for money. When the money goes away, he goes away. You preach the truth, man, and you're going to suffer lack, I can tell you. Paul did. He lacked even basic necessities, he says in his resume of sufferings in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, chapter 11, chapter 12. Now, is that God's will? No, that's not God's will. So I'm saying all that to say a true servant of God is going to be tested, and he's going to be tried and tested. He's going to be forged in the fire. He's not there to get money. He's just blessed that God would even somehow use him to serve his people, to serve him and his people. He has a true servant of God has a humble disposition, and he doesn't rule over people. That's God's place, and God doesn't even force people. So who do you think you are forcing people? That's ridiculous. Friends, I want to say before we finish our little passage here, I want to encourage you to become extremely familiar with the writings of the prophets and what they had to say about the false prophets. And there's no difference between the Old Testament false prophets, the wolves of then, and the wolves of today, and the wolves we see in the 27 books of the New Testament. There's a lot of insight on how to identify them, what the characteristics are, also what they teach. And as we're reviewing today, one of their doctrines is that they try to get people to remain in their fellowship as if that's a requirement from God. It's not. They manipulate Scripture to make it look like it. So I want you to become familiar with, write this down just for starters, Jeremiah 23. The whole chapter is on false pastors and false prophets. Also Ezekiel 34. Remember where these are so you can share this with others. Jeremiah 23, Ezekiel 34. I want you to go through every verse there prayerfully with your pencils, your highlighters, your index cards. You're going to learn a lot in those chapters. By the way, that's why we compiled the book.
Actually, two books. One of them is called Deceivers and False Prophets Among Us, and the other one's called Predators in Our Pulpits. Both are available. Actually, there's a package deal if you get them both on safeguardyoursoul.com. Just click the store page. And these books address this particular topic
on this subject. A lot of depth in the Old Testament concerning false shepherds, false leaders, which Israel was plagued with for centuries, and which the modern visible church is plagued with. And so there's a lot of scriptures in there that I can tell you right now, any false prophets you've ever been under weren't going to tell you about those scriptures, because then they might expose themselves. Now we're reading at 1 Peter chapter 5. We just read in verse 2 that overseers take the oversight, not the control, but the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not forcefully, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Now, Ezekiel 34:4 says, covers a couple of those things. Actually, verse 2 says, woe, Ezekiel 34:2, woe unto the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? See, these guys were fat, dumb, and happy. He says in verse 3, ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, and ye feed Israel. Woe to the shepherds of Israel, Ezekiel 34:2, that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe ye with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. You see, a lot of pastors, people in place, call themselves pastors or false prophets, false teachers, they're in place place to have money, to get money. It's an easy way to make money. That's why they don't preach the word. They don't know the word. They're not in the word. They just preach a few scriptures. They're not really in the depth of the word. They don't live the crucified life. They don't have a life. They don't live a life of prayer. The New Testament leader said we must give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Acts 6:4. And that's what a godly man should do. He should have an anointing. He should have a depth of scriptural understanding and knowledge, and one that's ever growing. Right here we see these guys feed themselves and don't feed the flocks. They live high off the hog. And you know, that's why they're there, is to get the money. They're hirelings. And we just read in 1 Peter 5, this is parallel truth here, not for filthy lucre. Overseers are not to be in ministry for filthy lucre or unjust gain or just to get paid. That's what an hireling does, which Jesus spoke about in a negative way in John 10. Now verse 3, Ezekiel 34, says, "You eat the fat and you clothe you with the wool, kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away." They didn't restore the backsliders. Neither, now they gain new pew members, but they won't preach repentance to them, so these people can't even get saved. Don't ever forget, friend, nothing begins with God, whether you're saved or unsaved, without repentance. It all starts with repentance. If you're a Christian and you've had sin in your life, hey, you're getting back to God always is going to be Him drawing you to repent. Not to cover over your sin. He that covers his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. It all begins with repentance, and then refreshing will follow. According to Acts 3:19, refreshing always follows repentance, but it all begins with repentance. That's the first word of the gospel. Matthew 3:2, Matthew 4:17, Acts 2:38, Acts 3:19, etc. Verse 4, Ezekiel 34, "The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them." With force and with cruelty. That's the Nicolaitan spirit. There's no new thing under the sun, my friend. What they were doing in Ezekiel's day is exactly what they're doing now. And they might cloak it more cleverly. Maybe not. And there's more. There's plenty more in this chapter. Ezekiel 34. I want you to read the whole chapter. Also, Jeremiah 23. I want you to become very familiar with both these sister chapters, if you will, talking about false shepherds. Again, the end of verse 4, "With force and with cruelty have ye ruled them." Jesus never forced anybody, and never does and never will, to serve him. So who do you think you are? That's witchcraft. So, not by constraint. Back to 1 Peter 5, our main text, verse 2. "The overseers ought not to deal with others by constraint or by force, not for filthy lucre, etc., but of a ready mind, humble, teachable, and servant-oriented." Verse 3, "Neither as being lords over God's heritage." Now, I want you to bracket these two words, God's heritage. God purchased the church through the blood of Christ. It's God's heritage, not your heritage, not my heritage, not any man's, not any mere man's heritage. God's not impressed with you stupid little pastorate, your dumb little denomination or headquarters. That means nothing to him other than that in most cases it's in complete rebellion and apostate. There's no authority in your organization. There's no authority in you outside of that which God is going to invest in you. And he's not going to do that unless you're in obedience to him and totally humble before him. And you're an overseer, one who's not controlling people and manipulating them through messages that are not New Testament messages, such as, you know, your blessings connected with staying in this house. Nobody's interested in your house. Your house has nothing. You need to be a part of the house of God. That's what matters. And that's a spiritual thing, where people worship God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and in spirit and in truth. It has no building that it's sectioned off into or limited to, or any being under you. You're not what's important in the kingdom. Neither am I. Jesus is. Jesus and his precious sheep, the sheep of his pasture. If you're a hireling, I'm warning people against you right now, so that they can their eyes can be opened through the Word and the Holy Spirit to see you for just who you are. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And you shall know them," and that Greek word there is discern them, "by their fruits." If you get the fruit of control, you're in witchcraft. You're a false prophet. You're a wolf. And you're there to devour the sheep of God's pasture. You're there for your own self interest, not for God's. Because you're not broken, you're not crying out to God, not my will, but thine be done, and to your hands I commend my spirit. You must increase, I must decrease. That's where God wants you. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flocks. Examples of what? Of servanthood. Jesus said, he that is the greatest among you, be servant of all. Matthew 23:11, verse 4, 1 Peter 5 says, and when the chief shepherd, now we see Jesus called the chief shepherd. He's called the great shepherd in Hebrews 13:20. Now we see in 1 Peter 5:4, he's called the chief shepherd. He's a shepherd and judge, and judgment is beginning and has begun at the house of God. It must. 1 Peter 4:17, just previous to this passage. Okay, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Eternal reward. If you're operating in an intimate relationship with him, and therefore you are treating his children right, you're there to nurture and bless them, not to exploit them for your own purposes and for your own selfish interest. Verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yet all of you be subject one to another. Hello! Amazing how these pastors who operate in witchcraft want you submitting to them, but they're never going to talk about submitting to you. That's a telltale sign. The absence of them speaking about submitting to you is a clear identification that the guy's a wolf. All of you be subject one to another. Subjection and humility and submission is one to another. It's two ways, not one. And be clothed with humility. Friends, we need a lesson in humility. Every one of us. To die deeper. To be planted more deeper in Christ. So that he raises us up in his humility, in his power, in his grace to do his will in love. Amen. All of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists, sets himself against stiff arms, the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. If you're exalted, it needs to be from God, not from yourself. Vaunting yourself against other people that Jesus died for, as if you own them. You don't own anybody. You're not even taking care of your own spirit correctly. And that's why you would even do something like that. That's ridiculous. You need to repent, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, before we close, I'm going to go just whet your appetite a little bit on Jeremiah 23. Again, the two chapters I told you in the Old Testament that I wanted you to read and become extremely familiar with are what? Can you remember? Jeremiah 23, Ezekiel 34. Listen to what he says right off the bat. He says, woe be unto the pastors. First verse, Jeremiah 23. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Thus, woe, that's a strong warning. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors, he says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. They're too busy living the good life, going golfing and everything else. They don't even have time to have lunch, coffee with people. That's not a biblical model, friend. By the way, the plurality of elders is biblical. We see that throughout the New Testament. Throughout the book of Acts, literally, just look up the word elder. Elders, plural, in King James Bible and Acts. Also look up Titus 1:5. Paul told him that he's the ordained elders, plural, in every church. Not one that reigns over everybody like a CEO and anyway gets a $250,000 a year salary, all this stuff. You have not visited them. That's the first thing he cites them. First he said that they scattered his flock and they drove them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. They're going to reap what they've sowed. God is going to judge them. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries. Verse 4, and I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. And that's ultimately when Jesus is reigning over Israel. In verse 18, for who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? That's the key, is hearing the word of God, sticking to and learning and getting everybody in the word of God. It's all about what God says, not about our control. It's about Christ being in control, not us. And if we were in the word of God, like it's talking about here in verse 18, gentlemen, we would not be trying to control other people's lives. Again, that's nothing less than witchcraft, and God's calling us to repent and to submit ourselves truly to him. And when we do, he's going to break that yoke of control and deliver us. And we're going to be used of him to worship before his holy throne day and night, and also to serve others in true meekness, sincerity, humility, and according to the oracles of God.
Well, brothers and sisters, listeners. It's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.